I appreciate the good humble prayer, and I appreciate the song service that's gone before. I can feel the Spirit already in this place, and that's a glorious thing, something to be thankful for. I've had on my mind as I've been studying in the Word, as we've been reading the daily Bible readings, I've chosen to read it straight through. I know some people are reading it, portions and pieces, some of Psalms, some of Matthew at the same time, beginning. But I've decided to start it, straight through. And I came to a section of Scripture in Genesis of the story of Joseph. And I thought that this story was just so moving to me. And it really, really touched me. And so I wanted to share with you some of the things that I've been blessed to see. And hopefully it's edifying to the body as well. And I pray that what I had to say would be of the Lord's will. If you would turn with me to Genesis 45 and verse 24. And Joseph here is going to send away his brethren back to his father, Jacob. And he's going to ask him to come to see him. He says, starting in verse 24, "So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, See what ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob, their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." Now, I want to talk a little bit about Joseph's life just to lead up until this point. But what I'd like to focus in on is this phrase, "it is enough." I think that this is a key piece and part of the lesson of what has happened here. And when I read these words, it just sort of hit me, the connection between Joseph and Christ. But if you look back to Joseph's life, Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel. And of course, he loved Rachel dearly. And it wasn't by his own design or his own thoughts that he ended up having Leah. It was sort of by happenstance. Well, not necessarily by happenstance, but it was the Lord's will. But he also was given Rachel as well, but he greatly loved Rachel. And he had two sons by Rachel, Benjamin and Joseph. And naturally, as sometimes we all do, we tend to have favoritism towards some versus others. And so Benjamin and Joseph were highly favored with Jacob. And this just really frustrated the rest of Jacob's sons. You find the others becoming very jealous. And so they conspired. And they wanted to kill Joseph. But thankfully, what happened was they, Reuben said, well, instead of, killing him, maybe what we should do is just, put him into a pit. We'll strip him of everything he has and throw him into this pit and let him die. Well, later on, that way that, they aren't going to be responsible for his death. But that started to kind of sink in a little bit. And so they said, well, maybe instead of throwing him in this pit, we should take him out and just sell him as a servant. And then we won't be responsible for anything that happens to him. We'll just tell Jacob that he died, and then we'll go on about our business. And so that's what they did. They ended up selling him off into Egypt. And he came into the house of Potiphar. And he was his master, and Potiphar really saw that Joseph was with the Lord, that Joseph was doing things and the Lord strengthened him, and so he loved him greatly. But there come to time when Potiphar's wife decided to try and come on to Joseph because she kind of liked him. And so she said, you know, lie with me. And Joseph said, no, you know, I can't do that. And so she came on again, lie with me. And he said, no, I can't do that, I'm sorry. And she came the third time, and he refused her three times. And in this time, she got a little bit frustrated with the situation. Am I not beautiful enough for you or something? You know, what was it? And so she decided to go off and tell her husband, Potiphar, that Joseph had slept with her. And that, that just ended up making Potiphar incredibly angry and frustrated. And so what he did was he cast him into prison. Now, it's funny because you've got Joseph here. He's been in a pit. He's been stripped of everything he has. He's was taken into Egypt and sold as a slave. There was absolutely nothing, no necessary for that. And he's ended up now in a prison in Egypt. So it's looking pretty dire for Joseph. You know, things are looking pretty bad. But the Lord has a way. The Lord's with him. And so what the Lord does is, there's a baker that's of the house of Pharaoh that's also in that prison with Joseph. And Joseph, he has the ability to interpret dreams. He's been blessed with that capability. And that was part of the reason, too, why, his brethren hated him so. Because not only was he there and Jacob had favoritism toward him, but he was also able to interpret dreams. And he had these dreams about his brethren that he had, they were all had the sheaves out in the field. They were cutting down, the grain and sheaving it together. And he said unto them that, I had this dream that my sheaf and all of your sheaves came up and your sheaf paid obeisance to mine. And they were frustrated by that. You know, we're bowing to you. That was part of the reason why they got so irritated. But his ability to interpret dreams here became in very handy. And in this situation, the baker had a dream that troubled him. And he was able to interpret it. And it was an amazing sight to this baker. The baker, was completely stunned that this man was so accurate and so right. See, he had the Lord with him. And so he told the baker, when the baker was released from prison to go back to Pharaoh's house, he said, remember me when you go back. And so he goes back into Pharaoh's house, and Pharaoh, he starts to have a dream as well. He had two, but one of them was that he had 7 ears of corn that were very healthy. And then he had 7 ears of very bad and famished corn, and they devoured the healthy corn, and it troubled him. He had another dream that was similar to that, but these dreams troubled him greatly. And so he asked his house, does anyone know of someone who could interpret these dreams? Do you have anyone that could do that for me? And the baker, he remembered Joseph, but he didn't speak. You know, a lot of times we get in that situation where the Lord, he's asking us to do things. He's set things aside for us, but sometimes we forget to do it. And, well, the Lord's will is still going to be done. It's just that it's going to take a longer route. And so that's the case of what happened here. You know, we had the baker who did not speak in this instance. And so Pharaoh decides, I'm just going to go to my magicians. I'm going to rely on them. I'm going to go to my prophets that I have. And I'm going to ask them to come in and try to interpret this dream. And so he went through every magician he had. He went through every prophet he had. He was not able. None of them were able to interpret this dream. And so finally, when all the chips were down, after all this effort had been done, the baker finally chimes in. And he finally says, "Well, I did meet this one guy in prison, and he was able to interpret my dream. Maybe he can do the same for you." And so they brought Joseph, and he told Pharaoh, "Your dreams of two are actually one. What's going to happen is you're going to be in a situation where you'll have 7 years of famine, or 7 years of plenty, I mean. And then once that plenty is completed, you're going to have 7 years of famine. And so what you should do is you should take all of the years of plenty and you should store it aside and make supplies for the years of famine." And so in this case, what happens is Pharaoh says, "Well, you're so good at this. You understand it so well. You know, why don't you become governor of Egypt and take care of this situation for me?" And so that's what Joseph did. Joseph worked for 7 years and he took all of the plenty that was provided and he stored it away and stored it in droves. And then the 7 years of famine started to wax sore on the land. And Jacob's family, Joseph's brethren, they started to hurt. They started to feel the pinch of what was occurring. And so Jacob said, "Go into Egypt. I've heard that they have stores of food that are set aside for everyone. Go into Egypt and ask if we can have some of this food." And so they go in and they come to Joseph. And Joseph is speaking to them with an interpreter. And they didn't recognize him. It had been a long time. And they didn't recognize him. And Joseph said, "What is it that you seek?" And so they said that they were looking for some food for their family. "We're looking for food and we'd like to carry it back to our father Jacob and to our family." And they said, "We have 12 brethren, one of which is back with our father." And so Joseph, immediately recognizing them, said unto them, "You're spies. You're spies. You come into Egypt and you're telling me a lie here." And he said, "Why don't you go back and bring forth your other brother, Benjamin? Bring him in here and let's just prove that you are who you say you are." So they went back and, Jacob really loved, like I said before, Joseph and Benjamin. And he just wouldn't let him go. He was very protective of Benjamin. He just wouldn't let Benjamin go. And so they took the food and they ate of it. And then it ended up drying up again. And so Jacob said, "Go back into Egypt and see if we can get some more food." And so they went back. And, Joseph said to them, "Bring me forth your brother. And I'm going to keep Simeon this time. I'm going to bind him up and I'm going to keep him in the jail. And then you go back and bring Benjamin forth." And so they went back with more food. But Jacob, to his surprise, was incredibly worried and anxious about the situation, because now not only had he lost Joseph, now he had lost Simeon. And so it was even a worse situation for him, but he finally gave it up. He finally let Benjamin go. And so they all went in, all 12 of them. And Joseph here, he makes himself known unto his brethren finally. Once Benjamin gets there, Benjamin recognizes him. He makes himself known to them as his brother. And they all fell and rejoiced with one another and were happy that Joseph was alive. And so Joseph here, he provides them with all the things that the family needed. He provides them with all the comforts and joys that they needed in the world. But he also provides them with a realization that he is his brother. He is their brother. And so in verse 24 again, when he comes back, when he's sending his people back, his brethren back to Jacob, and asking for Jacob to come forth, to come and see him, for the son to be with his father finally. of all the years that Jacob had prayed for this. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out of the way. And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. You know, these weren't any ordinary wagons here. These were phenomenal wagons sent out of Egypt. This is not like a normal horse and buggy type of thing that would come. This is laid with gold. These are expensive wagons that came to take him into Egypt. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. You know, this is a situation where you had a man who was stripped of everything he had. He was thrown into a pit. You know, there's another instance of that. If you look over in Luke, let's go to Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. And here we find the situation where the lawyer asked the flawed question. Well, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And so after, and we know the story, but after he goes on, Jesus then shares with him the story of the Good Samaritan. So in verse 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Do you feel like this morning that you were that man at one point? You feel like you were stripped of everything you had when the Lord showed you that, you know, you don't, where you stand in terms of your depraved state, where you are in comparison with God. You ever feel that way sometimes? You feel like, you know, you don't have anything in this world that you can lean on, that you can trust in. But here's a good Samaritan that came by. You know, he picks you up. The Lord Jesus Christ picks us up. He puts oil on us. He binds our wounds. He picks us up and puts us on a beast. He carries us into an inn. Aren't you thankful this morning that you got a Savior who's willing to do that, who's capable of doing that? Aren't you thankful this morning that you have a house, an inn to come to? It's called Little Union Primitive Baptist Church. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Aren't you thankful for the fellowship that we have here in this inn? And aren't you thankful this morning that you have an innkeeper whose business it is to seek those who are weary on life's travel and offer them a place to stay and to provide the manna from on high? Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Oh, but most importantly, aren't you thankful that when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, when he was on the cross and he was there bruised and beaten, and all of the people that he stood for had turned away and turned from him and from his sight and were not willing to help. And he had, you know, his kidney split open. He was, bruised and mangled beyond visual appearance to be able to recognize him. He had blood dripping down on his face. And he looks up unto his Father and he says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the Lord, he looks upon his Son there. And he said, it is enough. And he accepted it. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? You know, when we have this story of Joseph, you know, he made himself known to his brethren, just as Christ makes himself manifest unto his people. And here we have a situation where Jacob, looking at what all his son had done for him, he had taken care of his family, he had taken care of him, and here was this situation where he had the opportunity now to be with his son. What a glorious view it is. And it means a great deal when he says, "It is enough." I thank you for your attention.